Veshet Bor Lakib. In learning the Ramban with Rashi is like learning a Gemara with Rashi and Tosfos. You can't have a full understanding of the sugya without learning Tosfos. Right? You get a tremendous understanding. Not only that, but when you learn Tosfos, then you understand what Rashi means to say. Very often, Rashi says a line, and all the Bali Tosfos work over that line. They ask kashas and gitutzim, and mostly agree and sometimes disagree, but that's that completes the understanding of the sugya. The same way in Chumash, the Ramban begins with Rashi b'derech kol. And he also very often argues, but shows tremendous appreciation for the Perush of the Ibn Ezra. Those are the two Perushim that the Ramban addresses. In his Hakdama, he speaks about it. We won't go to the Hakdama now. We'll go straight to the Omer of Yitzchak. He calls the first Rashi. That's how he starts. Because Rashi is like Tosfos. Rashi is the beginning, the Rosh Berishon for everything. Omer of Yitzchak. Lehoi tzorch lahaschul ha-toyra elo me'achoyosh ha-zelochem shehi mitzvah yishoyin ha-shem stavu bo Yisroel. Right? There are other mitzvahs beforehand, but the previous mitzvahs weren't to Klal Yisroel. They were given to the world, to Avraham Avinu, or to Ruavu, which is to Odom Rishon, right? Or Mila, which is, or Gid Hanoshe, which is from Yaakov Avinu, Al Ken LeYochel Bnei Yisroel. But the others, HaChodesh HaZelochem, is the first parsha of mitzvahs in the Torah. So that should have been first, because that's Torah Kedosh. So what's the need for the Haggadah type background to go into the Sipurim of the Ovitz? Matam posach bebreishis. This is all Rashi's loshen. Mishum koyach masav higidul yamoy. Shem yoyim ru'u masa oylom. Liste matem, shekibashtem lechem. Arzois shiva goyim. You thieves, you took away the land of the seven umois. So, hey, Moimrim, Mohem, so the Yidden should tell them, Kol Ha'oras, Shalakadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shel Olam created the whole world. And the son of Asher Yosher Be'en, if he gave it to whoever he decides to. Vitzoyna, in the son of Lohem, Yosher Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to the Shiva Umois, they got it to begin with. And he'll explain later, by the way, what was the role of the Shiva Umois in Eretz Yisrael before the Yidden came. It's an extremely important Ramban, but that's quite a bit later. And Ubitsoinoi not lamehim, and the son of one we gave to us. Vizu agode beloshen shakosfer ben shloime bepirushov. Okay, this is the quote from Rashi, because the Mamor Chazal have a few words, less than a few words, more in certain parts of it, but this is the quote from Rashi. Vyesh lishalbo. Kitsoyach godelu lahaschol hatoyer bebereshis borlikim. What could be more important than the parasha of Bereshis Bor Elokim? Kihu Shoyresh Ho'emunah. It's one of the basis for the whole emunah of in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'en ein mamen bozeh. Whoever doesn't believe this, v'choyshev she'ho'olam kadmoin, and thinks that the world always existed, which is, by the way, one of the basic principles that Aristotle and the Greek philosophers worked with, that the world always existed. And conservation of matter, we say that matter can't be created or destroyed. Actually, all these principles changed, because today they came along with the same calculation. It's very interesting. This forum of the Choykrim and the Rishonim to prove that there must be a Borei Olam, it is what we're seeing for many, many, many years as being things that could create sveikus in the emunah, because once a person says a svara, he brings a raya, so someone else comes along, he has a kasha. The minute he has a kasha on the svara and he slugs up the raya, if he died to it, so then the entire emunah weakens. He has to have a emunah pshuta and believe, because Hashem Yisborach revealed himself to us and to our Ovas HaKadosh and Matan Torah in many, many cases. And even today, I mean, we see constant lechochos that the Torah Hakdosha comes from the Rabbanu Shalom, and that it's not a human thing. If your eyes are open, you could see that without too many pulpulim. I said I mentioned, in fact, a couple of days ago, and the person heard that, so he said that's it. That's the end of the discussion. Just takes a minute if you realize that when the Torah HaKadosha says that there's a mitzvah of Shemitah, Shemitah's karka, that means the entire Ummah for one full year shouldn't work the land. So, if a human being would dream up a religion, he would never give such a mitzvah. It's impossible, because the first time people would be mekayem it, it would be disaster for the Ummah. His religion would disappear immediately because it would be revealed as a sheker. And besides which, the people would be ruined completely, without an economy, without food. It would be a famine, and half the people would die out. Okay, you can't have a country that ignores its agriculture for a full year. Unless there's nisim v'nefloys. And like the Torah says, v'chisoyim r'manoichal v'ashona, right, v'shviyas. So the answer is, v'tziviz yesperchosi lochem. And if that doesn't happen, that's the end of the entire nation. So, I mean, you see, Kseder, Rayas, that the Torah is Men HaShemayim, but people generally steer away from Chakira. Why? Because once they start asking questions, improving and bringing Rayas and all that business, what it does is to weaken their Amun in many cases, because, you know, questions are not answered right away, and people find the doubts creeping into their mind. So you got to first work on the Amun Pshuta. That's what we always said. The interesting is that the Goyim came to the same conclusion by using the same methods. They calculated, right, with the, you know, the astronomy and the mathematics of Hubble, when you see an expanding universe. So all you have to do is calculate in reverse. Today it's expanding at a certain rate, and it's increasing, and so on and so forth. We'll just go backwards and see what happened X amount of time ago. And suddenly you see that there has to be a beginning. At one point, the whole thing just disappeared. So you'll say that it was lighter than, it was tinier than the tiniest grain of sand, which simply means that it occupied no space, only energy. And every bit of material and matter in space and time and everything was condensed into that energy without volume, right? Only with strength, and that energy all converted into all the galaxies and all parts of the universe, right? And once they made that calculation, what is that? That's saying that there was a Bria. And there was a moment when there was nothing. And that nothing, out of that nothing came something, came everything. Right? Which means to say, Bereshis Boil Akimus HaShemayim HaSoris. Understand? That's all it means. And that's why it's such an important principle that the Olam is not Kadmoin, the world. The matter that we see, we observe, wasn't here all the time, right? So rather than prove that by philosophy, prove it today, you could prove it by just simple calculation. You watch it and measure it carefully, and that's what comes out at the end of the short mathematical exercise. Understand? You go backwards, and it shrinks, and it hits a point where it disappears. So the entire world recognizes that right now. In LMI, they'll say there was a steer. They don't understand that most people who deal with these things are very foolish, and they come to the wrong conclusions. But the conclusion is, B'reishis Bara Elokim et HaShamayim V'Ha'aretz. So that's so important. And if it's so important, so why should we think that we could live without it? Right? Whoever doesn't believe in the Bria, the Choshev, and he thinks she'olam kadmoin, that the world was always there from the very beginning, who koifer be'ikir, right? Because he'll deny the basic principle of emunah. Ve'ein lo Torah klal, how could he have a Torah? If the Rabbeinu Shalom didn't create the world, then who gave us the Torah? Do you understand? It's just, it's not something, if something was always there, it's timeless. And there's no one who was able to tell us, you have to do this and you have to do that. Unless it's his to tell you. He created the world, so the world is his. Right? Adoin Oilom Asher Molach Beterem Kol Yisir Nivra. He came first. The Adoin Oilom who ruled over emptiness, but in that emptiness, his Rotzen could fill it with a universe. Do you understand? That's true. Asher Molach, he ruled over the world Beterem Kol Yisir Nivra before anything was created. Every creation, every body, every form didn't exist, and he was the ruler over emptiness. Within that emptiness, he subsequently created the Bria. So the Ramban says, how could the Torah, you know, start with Hachadosh Elohim when this parsha, this chumash, is so important? So he says, Vatshuva, v'pnei shemasa b'reishis soid omuk. It's a very deep soid. It's so deep. In fact, just from reading the Parshas Bereishis, you don't understand anything. Ainay moving min hamakroes, it can't be understood from the psukim. V'lo yivoda al burioi, and it couldn't be understood clearly. Elam mipi hakabolah, ad Moshe Rabbeinu mipi hagvura. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu received the whole story of Masa Bereishis from the Rabbeinu Shlom by Har Sinai, and he heard it straight, and that's where we have the Kabbalah. But you know, there's a couple of black Gemara that talk about this. You know which Masechta? Masechta Chagiga. Right? Who here learned Chagiga? You know, I learn Chagiga, the Masechta, every Yontif. Why? Because every Yontif, you have to bring a Korban Chagiga. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash and we can't bring the Korban. So the next best thing is to learn through Masechta Chagiga. But that the big sugis in the beginning of the second perek is the sugi of Maisa Bereishis and Maisa Merkava. Understand? And Chazal speak in such deep remozim that you know you got to really work and look and understand the words of the Gdoili for Yerushalayim, the Elam Forshim, to really appreciate the remarks here and there, but there's a couple of black Gemara, literally three, four black Gemara. And the Yoidov, and those who know these things, Chayov and Lahasteroi, so you have to hide it. In fact, that's what the Gemara says. The second parak in Chagiga says, Ein Dorshin v'maisa b'reishis. Ein Dorshin b'arayis b'shloisha, v'lo v'maisa b'reishis b'shnayim. And v'lo v'maisa merkava v'yachot. So, and then the Gemara tells us about it. So it says, "L'chein Omer Reb Yitzchak she'ein l'haschalos haTorah tzorich v'beishes bora." This parish is not going to help us out anyway. What's a chiluk? It just tells us a millionth of a percent of what there is to know, and you can't get it from the words here. V'asipur v'meshen Reb Yom Rishon, manas of Yom Sheni v'shar Yom. So many psukim that are devoted to Adam v'Chava, the chetam and their sin, the onshem and their punishment, Sipur Gan Eden, right? The story of Gan Eden, Geirish Odom Imenu, how he was chased out of Gan Eden. Kikol zel lo yuvon bina shlemim in aksuvim. There's so much to talk about, and even then, it's just a little, tiny, like a fraction of a teaspoon, you know, from what the whole Chochma is. The Kolshken, Sipur Dor HaMabul, Vafloga. There's almost nothing there, just a few words. Shein HaTzorach Bem Godel, what need is there? For Yaspik Lan Shei HaTorah, Bilade Aksuvim, for those without the Psukim, you still have to have the Kabbalah. And the Kabbalah is enough. What does the Kabbalah need, the Psukim? The Psukim just don't help you. So that's what he says. V'yaminu b'chum. b'nizkir lahem ba'aseres ha'dibretz. Yeah, you have just a few words in aseres ha'dibretz that serve as enough of a posik to take care of the whole ma'aseh of bereishis. Ki sheshes yomim osar shemes ha'shemayim v'sa'oretz. Es ha'yom es kol shabom v'yonach b'yom ha'shvi. Right? That's what Alkein Be'er, we say that all the time. You know, that's the kiddush. We say those sukkim. That tells you about the 6 days, tells you about the 7 days, tells you about everything. But the details, we don't got the details anyway from the Pesukim. V'tishor ha-yediyu li-yechidim. And those few yechidim who have access to the deep yediyas of Ma'aseh Bereishis will remain the same few yechidim, whether you have the Pesukim or not. Okay? Tremendous kasha. No, that's how he explains. He's explaining what is Reb Yitzchok's kasha. Lo-yhoya ha-tzor, na-toyra tzorach la-aschem. You understand? Halacha Moshe Sinai, im ha-toyra shval peh. I mean, sof kol sof, how much even of the other psukim? Well, from the other psukim, at least we have, we see with his, you know, our bovs and the zikin are all there in parshas. Mishpotim, Shabbos, the bulk of it, the yisoidis are all in the Torah Shavik Sav. But if Ma'aseh Bereishis, we have next to nothing in Torah Shavik Sav. So what could Torah Shavik Sav add to the Kabbalah? If we have the Kabbalah, then we know it without the psukim. And if we don't have the Kabbalah, then we don't understand anything from the psukim anyway. Okay? For nothing of Yitzchak Tam. Now we'll understand what the Yitzchak is addressing, the full kasha. You know, when you learn through a Ramban like this, just like when you learn through Tosfos, or when you see the Ramban, so you appreciate the line in Rashi, right? Then you tell yourself, aha, well, I learned this Rashi many times before, right? And I thought I knew it. But now you see the Ramban, and he adds a mountain to it, opens up your mind wide open. Now you're beginning to feel what the kasha is, what's the urgency to ask it and to answer. I have to leave a fellow that gives you a, you know, what amkus means. It's superficiality is the mark of, you know, a non-thinking person. So the Yerushalayim will teach us how to think. I have to leave a fellow. L'cheinu Reb Yitzchok. No, one second. V'nosam Yitzchok Tamos, he has Hischilo ha-toyer b'breishis bor l'kim v'sipur kol inyan ha-yitzira ad b'riyas odom. The first parasha of the stuff that we learn in the Chosim Breishis on Simchas Torah, right? V'shehem shiloi b'masa yodav, and Odom Rishon was placed as the ruler of everything that Hashem Yisborach created. I mean, the psukim are there, v'yirdu b'zgas hayom u'voif ha-shamayim. Now you could hear something. It's telling us that the Odom HaRishon is not just there on the world and he has the entire Bria to use for mitzvahs, right, for Kedusha, for Tachlis. That's very important. But he's telling us much more than that. He's telling us the Yirdu, there's a Memshola. Odom HaRishon rules over everything. And the coil shos tachas raglov, everything he placed under the feet of Adam Rishon. V'gan Eden, shehu mivchar hamakoymos hanavroim ba'olam hazeh. The Gan Eden, that fabled Gan Eden, which we don't have a clue as to what the inside of Gan Eden really looks like. That's the most wonderful place in the entire world. And of course, our voice, you probably think of Gan Eden every time you hear it as a place where the neshamas go, right? And after Misa, which is true, because there are two Gan Edens. There's the Gan Eden HaElyon and the Gan Eden HaTachton. You understand? So the Gan Eden, there are two places called Gan Eden. That's what the Yerushalayim and the Sforim teach us. But the Gan Eden in the Parsha of Bereishis is dealing with what Gan Eden? The Gan Eden HaTachton, which means Gan Eden on this world. And that we have no access. We don't know where it is and we don't know what it looks like. Right? But as the Rambam tells us in Hakdamat Tochelik and in other places, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal the existence and the place of Gan Eden, and then we'll know what purpose it serves. But that's the Nivchar HaMakayma is Trev Olam HaZeh. Okay? Now, Gan Eden, Shehu Mivchar HaMakayma Sanagroim Olam HaZeh, Nasim Mochen L'Shivtai, that became the place where Odom should really have stayed and lived and built his world in Gan Eden. Ad Shegir Shoytsoi B'Cheta Mishom, until he was exiled from Gan Eden because of the Aveir. They were exiled much more. Korshu in Oilam Kulay. They were chased out of the entire world. Okay? But Tzadik Bohem Luvadoi Nimlot Hu Uvonov, and only Noach escaped. He was saved, of course, he and his sons, Vizarim, Chetam Gorlohem Lahafisar Bim Kaimis. And why were his children exiled further? They all came in the Bikah B'Eretz Shinar, right? Vayeshu Sham. And they began to build that famous city, right? With the tower. And then later they were exiled and they were spread around the whole world. That's what it says, Mishom Hefitzim Hashem al Bnei Kol Ha'aretz. So why? All because of their aveiros. So once we know the story, we know much, much more, Rabbi Isaac, than we knew from just saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and gave the world to whomever desired. Take a look at this statement, this one line that Rashi says, right? Nosno la'asher yosher be'enov u'birtsoinoi nosno lehem u'birtsoinoi not lamehem. But now that's not just giving the Shiva Umas that place called Eretz Yisrael and taking it away from them when they no longer deserved it. Kigamas b'neihem v'yes b'neiseihem yisrufu v'esh l'eloheihem. They burnt their sons and their daughters to the Moloch. Okay. But it's much deeper than that. Everything follows that same pattern of Tzchar V'Oynish. Right? Odom Rishon lost Gan Eden because he didn't deserve to hold on to it. Okay, the Dor HaMabul lost the whole world. They didn't deserve it. It was only Noach Ubonach. Okay? And as we go on, we see the Anshei Sidoim, which tells us that when you have something that you're given, you can't just sit back and hope to live there and hold on to it and, you know, have fun with it. It shows us that there's a tremendous achrayus. It's like you're a shomer, you're given to watch over it. That Odom Harishon was given, what does it say about Odom Harishon? For the purpose that he was given Gan Eden? Right? Vayanichehu b'Gan Eden, what are the next two words? Come on, some of you know, you're Balei Kriya, some of you, come on. What? La'ovdo l'shomra, right? To develop it and to watch over it. And that goes for everything. Whatever we have in our hands, we have that achrayus, lo'ovdo l'shomra. And Chazal say, lo'ovdo ezu mitzvah saseh, and l'shomra ezu mitzvah lo'y saseh. The shomer pen ba'al is mitzvah lo'y saseh. Do you understand? So now we see things in a much different light. You have a keli, a chayfetz, a money, and anything that you have in your hands. You're now a shomer. You're a melech. But what is a melech, Rabbi said, when you think of it? What's the position of a melech? To sit on the back of a horse and play polo? Right? Or to ride around with a crown on his head and, get a lot of covet? Those are the most unimportant minor parts of malchus. The main part of malchus is to rule justly and righteously and responsibly over the land that's under your influence. And see to it that everything is done well. Protect the people, the economy, the health, right, the security, and to see to it that people, right, to see that people keep the Torah, do what they're supposed to. So a melech is very, a successful melech deserves all the covet in the world. And if the melech is a failure, so he makes a big meal for the crocodile, like that melech in Africa that ruined the country, and the next day they reported him being eaten up by the crocodiles. There's a responsibility is a tremendously important thing, and that you see. Right? Chetam. Goram lohem lafitzom v'mekoymois. Their aveirim caused that they should be spread about. And to spread them out through all the lands in the world. V'sofsu lohem ha'mekoymois. And they grabbed onto various mekoymois l'mishpachoseim for that field. V'goyeyem among the various nations. K'fishon hazdam and lohem, whatever they grabbed onto. So as the world again began anew, because the first settlers failed in their mission to be Mekayim La'ovdo L'Shomra on their level. Okay? So therefore, they had to again be removed. The person is, he's given the biggest job in the world. He runs for the race, for the governor, and he wins the election. And he won it on the strength of all the propaganda that said that there's no one better than him, no one could do the job better than him. And then he sits in this big, giant chair, and he gets a lot of pictures taken of him, and gets a big, fabulous inauguration with all the cover that goes along with it. And then it turns out he's totally irresponsible, and he's totally incapable. So the bizyoinus and the destruction that he causes are monumental. There's no one who could do such a massive job of, you know, ruining everything, because unless he's in that position. So that's what everyone has to... We'll take one more line, and that's it. Okay. Imkein roi hu, kasha yosef hagod lachtoi, in every nation, when it just keeps on sinning. Sheyoivet b'mkaiva, should be lost, this place. That's it. Reject it. Right? The land shouldn't vomit you out like it vomited out the nation that was here before. So we get from the Parshas Bereishis, Chumash Bereishis, a picture of what a person has to do when he carries responsibility. Responsibility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed into his hands. Right? Now that we have the Torah, so we have the tools and the guidelines, the formula of what to do when the responsibility is ours. Be'ez Hashem, we should be zachet. Coming here, maybe still, to successfully hold on to the part of the world that's given to us. Good, second to that.